It's not his fault. Blame white monopoly capital. Blame the portfolio committee on home affairs. Blame anyone but himself. That's, of course, the attitude of the embattled home affairs minister, Manisi Gigaba, who's now accused Parliament's portfolio committee on public enterprises as being part of a well-orchestrated political campaign to vilify him. He's due to appear before them today to answer what we hope will be some really, really tough questions. We're joined now by the chairperson of the portfolio committee on home affairs, Hlumani Chauke. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Good morning very much, and morning to the listeners.
Now, Manisi Gigaba says that there's a well-orchestrated political campaign to demonize him, to end his political career, and he says this leak from your portfolio committee is a part of it.
No, it's unfortunate. That is not my comment. I'm chairing home affairs. I think it may be public enterprises. I deal with the issue of the fire blade. I got nothing to do with the leaked document, by the way, because I'm chairing home affairs. And in the home affairs, we focus on the issues of the fire blade and the author and Emerson himself. And that got nothing to do even with the plot, because these are matters that have been before the court, and the court has pronounced, and for us and his department, is to make sure that it's compliant with what the court has ordered. That's all.
All right. Of course, we heard last week, well, before I even go there, broadly speaking, though, when a minister says that there is a campaign of this nature being orchestrated by MPs then, I mean, what would your response to that be?
Look, from the level of my committee, look, we are guided by the Constitution, and the Constitution is very clear of the role and function of Parliament. And then unless Parliament is not going to be able to do its oversight over the executive, because the Constitution is very clear of the role of Parliament and what Parliament must do. And I believe very strongly, from the level of the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs, this is what we are doing. And we are holding the executive accountable, and they have to be accountable, because somehow anyone must be accountable. And that's the role that we are doing.
Right,
and we will not be involved in some conspiracy and whatever. We are focused on the work that we must do as mandated by the Constitution.
All right. As you say, the courts have already pronounced on this. The highest court in the land has said there's no point in taking this issue really any further. Last week, of course, the Oppenheimers came before your committee, and they made a number of strong statements, including that the minister had lied. And if you go back to the original judgment, for example, one of the things that came up was the issue of whether or not approval had been given. We know, of course, the minister said at the time, at one point, that the approval had been suspended. You have to ask the question then, if he'd never given it, why would he suspend it?
Well, look, the point is that these matters were put before the court. He put his point across through his affidavit, well represented, and then the court came to a conclusion that in fact they have the right to use the facility. And then he then appealed the decision, which as the committee we supported him, in fact, when he went to the Constitutional Court to appeal. We really supported as a committee that would not have a situation where the state provides a service to a private company. And then he lost the appeal, and that's where we are. That is why today he's going to be appearing before the committee on the basis that there's now the appeal that he lost and the report of the public protector that has pronounced on the issues and then make a finding. And those issues, obviously, are referred to Parliament via the Speaker's office to refer him to the Ethics Committee. Ours will be, our interest here will be to make sure that whatever that the service that the state government is providing to that fire blade, there is an agreement in black and white. This is what we want to do. At the end of today, we want to have agreed that moving forward, we expect to see that the agreement is signed between the fire blade. They have a contract that they have signed with Danel, the lease that they have. From that duration, as agreed, let's comply with the court, what the court are saying, because we cannot want even to use conspiracy to the court. I mean, those are credible, you know, systems that we have put in place to guard our democracy, and we will not want even to want to try and pass judgment on them.
All right. So what do you want to find out from the minister, given the context in which we heard from the public protector last week that he's violated the executive ethics code?
Look, from the side, we don't know much is that, and the public protector maker refers the report to the Speaker of Parliament, right? So we will not want, unless that decision he had to take it for review, it's not our space now to want to comment on, but to note what the public protector came up with, and then finalize the issue. The issue before us is that there must be a contract that must be entered into, because government is providing a service. You know, it's not vice versa where individual outside are providing a service to government for procurement. No, here government is providing a service, and therefore there must be a proper arrangement in place, and that's the outcome of what we expect.
So in effect, you're not dealing with how we got here, but you're looking at the way forward. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly, because what we got here, it's informed by the court. I mean, all that I've gone through, all the affidavits that he has put and the open MS fireplace they've put and all the arguments, I've gone through that, right? And the court has made a finding, and the conclusion is that they have a right, they are given the permission through the engagements and whatever. If you are to read the documents that are before, that were used at the court, you will definitely agree that there's been somehow a promise or some engagement to an extent that it was just a matter of launching the opening ceremony, you know, which to an extent that even the president was about to be invited to come and do the official opening, you know, of the facility. So look, those are water under the bridge. What is important now is that let's have an agreement, but let's look at the gaps in the legislation as to if there are gaps that need to be looked at. Let's come up with legislation that sort of protects the state, so the state does not end up entering into these arrangements again without the proper legislative framework in place.
Yeah. Final
because
question.
You sit back and look at this thing.
Yeah.
Part of it is that you look at Lanseria, for example. Lanseria does international flights, right?
Yeah.
And the state is providing a service, same as they're providing to the fireplace. But if you had to look at the arrangement, the agreement, or the legislative framework that governs such, you don't find it, except the fact that you then declare the place to be a port of entry, you know? So other than that, there is no agreement that we have, you know? Is part of what we're going to be dealing with moving forward.
Final question to you. I mean, and this is what people will battle to understand. I hear everything that you're saying in terms of having an agreement in place and making sure that procedurally everything is what it should be. But there's also the issue of doing these things with some sound basis in terms of, you know, trust and faith. When you've got the principals for Fireblade telling your portfolio committee last week that the minister lied, where does the good faith idea get placed?
Look, that is why we're saying that we don't have a choice but to concur with the structures that they have identified such, because that's why he must come to clarify again in the committee that now that this is how he's found. On record in the committee, it is different. I think the record in the committee was that he did not give permission, right? And that's why the committee then supported him to go to the Constitutional Court for the appeal. He lost the appeal. So it means that those arrangements are standing, those pronouncements by the court and the public.
Well, that's why I asked you the question right at the beginning, that if he suspended that approval, how could he suspend something he had not given? That's what I still
exactly
don't quite get.
Exactly. That is the point that was argued at court. And maybe this may be part of the clarities that as we engage with him today in the meeting, he may have to want to clarify, you know, because if the argument is that there is no agreement, there's nothing. Yes, where we are sitting, we know that there's nothing signed. We know, because the Open MS came and confirmed that there is nothing that is signed, but there's commitment that was made that this has been approved, right? It was tested at the court, and the court has pronounced on that. And once the court has pronounced an appeal, he disagreed with the court, appeals court. He then appealed to the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court has dismissed his appeal, right? So it means that what the court has now pronounced is standing, and these are issues that, from the committee point of view, we will not want to dwell much, but the fact is that one will have to clarify his position, right? His stand with regard to these issues, but there's nothing he can do much because those issues he will have to go and explain himself at the Ethics Committee where he's been referred. What? Even the Portfolio Committee will have done the same at the level of if you find that someone is lied under oath, the Portfolio Committee will definitely have referred the matter to the Ethics Committee of Parliament.
Okay, we'll leave it there with Tlhomane Chauke, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. I don't know what your response or reading of that answering from that chairperson will be, but yeah, the gist of it is that they want explanations for something that really seems to be quite clear to me. I mean, the courts have made it clear that this man did lie. The Oppenheimers are saying the same thing. Why are we still here? What are we finding out?